It's an end-of-the-year edition of the Week in Review. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Friday, December the 30th. Our two Week in Review guests will assess the political news from this last week of the year. And maybe later in the program will give us their crystal ball predictions for 2012. And as always, we welcome your input. What items from the news this week should we discuss today? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let me welcome our guests, if we can get one of them back on the line. We are going to be talking with Georgia Durslotti. She is a professor of political science at Beloit College, and Walter John Chilson, who is a former Republican state senator from Wausau and member of the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Hall of Fame. Walter John Chilson joins us from our studios in Wausau. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you too, Joy.
Well, we are reestablishing contact with Georgia Durslotti, who was waiting patiently to start, and then we lost connection. There she is. Georgia Durslotti joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy New Year.
To you as well.
Well, you know, there's a little bit later in the program, I might ask you for some political predictions for 2012. And throughout the hour, I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about some of the biggest news stories of the year as they are ongoing as we speak. But I want to start with the Iowa caucuses just around the corner on January the 3rd. And have you both sort of assess the ups and downs of what's going on in Iowa. Walter John Chilson, last I looked, Rick Santorum was rising in the polls, and Ron Paul was rising in the polls, and Newt Gingrich was going down. Do we now have another possible front runner in Iowa?
Well, I'm pleased to see that George Romney is, not George Romney,
Mitt.
Mitt Romney, I'm thinking of his father, George. Mitt Romney has ahead with about 25% in recent polling. Rand Paul is second. I'm amazed at that. Rick Santorum has started to get some benefit from Gingrich dropping in the polls, I think. And Perry and Bachman are trailing far behind. I don't know whether the argument is often made that the caucus, because of the way they're run, is not really a very significant thing. I would suspect that if Ron Paul wins, that many people will say, well, it really doesn't mean very much because they were just being cranky out there in Iowa.
Yeah.
And but I'm pleased to see that Romney is doing quite well.
Well, talk a little bit, though, Walter John, about why Mitt Romney, you know, he's been kind of steady in the polls, but yet we had been seeing, you know, first Rick Perry or, you know, first Michelle Bachman, then Rick Perry, then Newt Gingrich, and there was a different front runner just about every other week.
And
I mean, does this mean that they're looking for anybody but Mitt Romney?
Well, Time Magazine had, I thought, a devastating cover story about showing a picture of Mitt Romney and saying, "Why don't people like me?" You know, that concludes that people don't like him. I think a lot of people are searching for someone else rather than Romney. I think they don't like some of the waffling he's done in the past since he was governor of Massachusetts, and they don't like the fact that he's a Mormon. They don't come out and say that, but I think that is a factor. We've never had a Mormon candidate. Strangely, we have two Mormons running as Republicans this time.
Yeah. Well, except one of them says that Iowa doesn't pick presidents. Iowa picks corn. John Huntsman said that.
I think there's a lot of validity to that.
Well, Georgia Durslotti, your thoughts on the Republican field, especially with the Iowa caucuses?
Well, I do think that Iowa doesn't pick Republican presidential candidates, and it's a pretty good record of winnowing the field, but not coming in with the number one ultimate candidate in the end. So the Republican dynamics of Iowa are very different than Democratic dynamics of Iowa. I don't think Paul is electable in the general, especially when people start to understand him a little bit more. I've spoken with many young people who are very enthusiastic about him, and then I start laying out his policies and the implications of his policies, and they have no clue. They have no clue what he's actually saying and what he actually stands for. So he's not electable. I predicted several weeks ago that Santorum would rise. This is Santorum's kind of race. He has worked really, really hard on it. He has done his ground game absolutely to the best extent of his ability. So to have him be the story now, it makes him already a winner in many regards. And whether he comes out on top or not, he is definitely going to get a bounce out of this. My question about Santorum is, what's he doing in New Hampshire, and how will that look? Because that definitely will be different when we hit that a week later. And anybody but Romney, surely that has been the refrain for a very, very long time. The point I would worry about if I were Romney's camp is the fact that while I am staying steady, I'm not changing. So the big deal will be, and he will get a bounce in New Hampshire, is, you know, do I start to take off as the other candidates fall, or do they continue to search around for some third candidate, or is there an enthusiasm gap, and will the 2012 election be the election of an enthusiasm gap on both sides?
Yeah. We also this week saw Michelle Bachmann's Iowa chairman quit her campaign and endorse Ron Paul. Is this it for Michelle Bachmann, Georgia Gerslotti?
Probably. I don't know how she can move forward, although she may, just in sheer doggedness, move forward. I don't know how she can if she doesn't score well in the state she was born in, her neighboring state, and a place she's traveled all 99 counties, blah, 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 everything she said about this. Certainly the media likes changes, which is one reason we had focus on anybody who was moving up a little bit. She had her moment in the media glory and fell. I do think there is some sexism in the way she's been treated, but I also don't think she was ever meant to be the president, so...
Yeah. Well, there was also this week we heard Gary Johnson, I think he was, he's a Republican, but he says he's going to run as a third party. Is that going to upset the cart? I think he's going to vote. Is he going to be a Libertarian, I think?
Libertarian.
So Walter John Chilson, what do you think of that?
Well, I think there lies the danger of a third party candidate in the Republican Party. I think that could spell a real problem. Could spell defeat for the in the November election. He's a former governor of New Mexico, and he'll do well in New Mexico, I guess, when they get around to having a primary. But other than that, I don't see him as being very strong. But it could be that there are other stronger third-party candidates who might arise later on. I think, going backward a little bit, South Carolina, I think, is going to be a key for Mitt Romney. I think he probably is going to win the Iowa primary. He more likely is going to assuredly win the New Hampshire one. But how does he do in South Carolina, I think, is very crucial.
Yeah, who do you think is strong in South Carolina, Walter John?
Pardon?
Besides Mitt Romney, who might be strong in South Carolina?
Well, I think Santorum could be. Newt Gingrich has been trying very hard. Even Perry might do well in the more conservative South Carolina.
I see, yeah. Is there anything, Newt Gingrich didn't make it on a couple of ballots this week. How's that going to affect him, Walter John?
Well, I think one other candidate didn't make it as well, Rick Perry. And he has got a lawsuit saying, excuse me.
Well, we'll let you clear your throat, Walter John Chilson, and maybe we'll get Georgia Draslotti in on Beyond Iowa on these Republican candidates and the possible third-party runs.
Well, my first reaction was, big news about Gary Johnson. Who?
Yeah, right.
but, of course, all the Republicans have to look back and thank Ralph Nader for giving them 2000. And they must be thinking exactly the same as Walter John just said, that this you know, they believe it's going to be close. Republicans believe that they can knock off Obama. And if they pull off basically the Ron Paul contingent, because they're really mostly libertarians, and if he runs as a third party in as a libertarian candidate, then they're in big trouble. I endorse what Walter John said about South Carolina being the real key for Mitt Romney, by the way. That is where the rubber will really hit the road. And it also may be where we see if the changes in the rules that the Republicans made will extend the primary longer. Maybe they saw that there was a lot of enthusiasm and excitement that built up around having a longer primary season. And picking a winner too early really could be detrimental, and they changed the rules to reflect closer to what the Democrats used in 2008. So it may be a more interesting race longer, and I believe Santorum will show better in South Carolina, although he does have baggage from his earmarks. We'll see how mad the Republicans in South Carolina remain about that, comparing his conservative credentials. And I just don't know if Rick Perry's going to make it that long. He's shot himself in the foot way too many times.
Yeah, you know, there's been some talk that this this whole primary season could last all the way to the Republican convention, and we could end up with a brokered convention. I've even heard speculation that a candidate who's not running right now could end up being chosen at the convention. Georgia Draslotti, can you see such a thing happening?
Idle speculation, but fun.
Do you see it being do you see a winner being chosen before the convention?
I can't imagine that by the end of the primary season, someone will not be standing as the winner. It could make for more interesting politics at the convention for a variety of reasons, but I just can't imagine that they would go through all of that great time to attack Obama during the summer without a candidate. I mean, that would really speak to a weak party.
Yeah. Where do you see this headed, Walter John Chilson?
Well, one of the other complaints about Romney is that he is the establishment candidate. I think he will continue to get stronger endorsements. I know Libby Dole has endorsed him just yesterday. I think those kind of, and the governor of New Jersey is traveling with him in Iowa today. I think those kind of endorsements are going to continue to come. So a brokered convention, I think, is highly unlikely. Who would it be? A Bush from Florida? That's one possibility, you know. Some people say he still should get in, but I don't really see that happening either. I agree with my colleague this morning.
Yeah, well, the person I saw speculating was saying Chris Christie, of all things. Now that same person is probably saying maybe Chris Christie is going to be Mitt Romney's running mate, Walter John Chilson.
Well, I think that certainly is a possibility, but a good one. He's denied that would be the case, says he's not interested yet in the presidency or the vice presidency, but that would be a strong candidate.
Yeah,
it would help establish Romney's conservative credentials.
Well, you know, on the Democratic side, former Labor Secretary Robert Reich wrote this week, and he says he is not basing it on any insider knowledge, but he thinks that Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and Vice President Joe Biden should and will switch places for the 2012 election. Georgia Derslati, any chance of that happening?
It's wonderfully fun to think about that. There have been speculations for a long time about Hillary's next move, and I think she's done absolutely wonderful job as Secretary of State, but that is a grueling job just because you fly all the time. What time zone are you in? So when I heard it, it wasn't the first time I'd thought about it, but it has more legs than some other speculations I've heard. I think it excites a lot of people. I actually, I think many people know I was a big Hillary supporter last time. That should come as no surprise. I actually received several emails asking for starting Hillary for president again, which I didn't answer. But so there is, you know, some push out there, and the mere fact that Robert Reich said it and that you're reporting on it gives it more momentum than it would have if neither of those things happened.
Do you think that would make a stronger Democratic ticket, Walter John Chilson?
Oh, I think it would. I don't think there's any question about that. But one of the things that the Democrats are worried about, did worry about 4 years ago, was Bill Clinton, what kind of a liability he might be, might have been 4 years ago, when he could run out and have another affair with some young woman or something like that during the campaign. That's if Hillary would have been the presidential candidate. I think he's polished up his act so sufficiently that he would probably be looked on as more of an asset. Surprisingly, he has been critical of some of Obama's issues and moves, so I don't know how well that would sit with the Obama camp in having Hillary aboard.
Another piece of presidential campaign news. When asked this week, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker declined to endorse a primary candidate. Do you think, Walter John, he's smart to do that?
Oh, I think so, yes, especially with the possibility of a recall election coming up. Let me see. He did pick three candidates that he favored, but he wouldn't say which one of those he thought was the best.
Yeah. Well, who do you think is the best, Walter John Chilson, and who do you think is going to get this nomination as we peer into the crystal ball?
I think that Gingrich would be a good president, but I don't think he'll get the nomination. I think George Romney has a lot of presidential qualities, and I think he will be the Republican candidate. I do fear a third-party candidate coming in and handing the election to Obama.
And Georgia Derslati, you care to predict?
I think Mitt Romney is the most likely choice, unless something really happens big with Santorum.
Oh, wouldn't that be interesting?
It would be.
One thing, a story that was in the news this week involving candidate Mitt Romney, a story near and dear to many of our listeners. He said this week that he would definitely seek to cut spending for public broadcasting and require it to seek more private funding, including advertising, to stay in operations. He says, "We are not going to kill Big Bird, but we are going to put ads on him." Georgia Derslati, what do you think of that?
I think that it plays to his Republican audience well. I think that public broadcast has been under attack for decades now, and this was an easy thing for him to pick on. I think the suburban housewife that is so critical as the swing voter might not like that.
Mm-hmm. Walter John Chilson?
Well, I agree that he's catering to a more conservative element. Public television has been a target of conservatives for a long time. I think he did it with good humor. And he even indicated that he might be buying some commercials on Big Bird as well. So I don't see him doing much damage, but it probably does him some good.
We are talking with Walter John Chilson. He is a former Republican state senator from Wausau, member of the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Hall of Fame, and Georgia Durst Lottie, who is a professor of political science at Beloit College. They are our Week in Review guests for this last Week in Review of the year. We are covering all of the top national, state, and international news headlines this week, and we're welcoming your input, too. What issue from the news this week would you like them to discuss? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org, or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We have one more national issue to discuss before turning our attention to the state of Wisconsin and state politics. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up this afternoon after 4, it's Your Views on the News. John Munson in for Ben Marins. You can call in and talk about what you believe is the week's most significant news story. Your Views on the News after 4 every Friday here on the Ideas Network. Every Friday during our 8 to 9 o'clock hour, we welcome in two guests from different political viewpoints to talk with you about the top political news of the week. It's our Week in Review. Today we are talking with Georgia Durst Lottie and Walter John Chilson. And this week, Ben Nelson, a Democratic U.S. Senator from Nebraska, said he is not going to run for re-election in 2012. And this raises Republican hopes that they might be able to take control of the U.S. Senate. Nebraska, very conservative state, and Ben Nelson, a conservative Democrat. Will the Senate turn from Democrats to Republicans in 2012, Georgia Durst Lottie?
No.
Why?
I think that the Democrats will be on their game better than ever. I think the Tea Party has soured in many people's minds. I think that it's very likely that seat is going to go Republican, but there'll be some other shifting around, and it'll stay in Democrat hands.
Of course, we have an open Senate seat in Wisconsin as well, Democrat Herb Kohl retiring. There's going to be a Republican primary to figure out who is going to be the Republican candidate. We looks like probably Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin for the Democrats. But there is some thought that Wisconsin could flip. What about that, Georgia Durst Lottie?
It's possible, but again, with the foment around the recall, Scott Walker did more for the Democrats than any Democrat has done in decades. So I just think that the ground game is going to be different this time. And I've heard so many people say that they kind of sat on their thumbs last time and they'll never do it again. Of course, that's relatively short-lived, such statements, or the actions from such statements, but I think it will carry through into the fall election.
So is it going to be Senator Tommy Thompson or Mark Newman or Tammy Baldwin, Walter John Chilson?
Oh, I'm sure it's going to be Tommy Thompson. I think Tammy Baldwin has popularity in her own congressional district, but I don't see her developing any kind of establishment beyond that. The other candidate running is already attacking, not Tommy, but what's his name, former congressman, is attacking Tammy already as being the most liberal congresswoman. She has been categorized many times that way. I think that will work against her. I don't see her being any kind of a threat against either of the Republican candidates. But I think we probably are going to win Nebraska back, and also probably are going to win Wisconsin. And what is it? They only have a 3-vote majority right now, don't they? I don't think the Republicans will get a 60-vote majority, but I see it almost a sure thing that they will take the Senate.
Well, let's bring it back to Wisconsin. I think I'd like to just get your initial thoughts with Governor Walker in the news this week doing a lot of year-end type interviews, and he did say that he did have some regrets this year. He thinks he should have done a better job selling his budget repair bill and the collective bargaining piece. That, he said, was one of his regrets. Just looking back at it, Georgia Derslotty, what's your reaction to that?
Oh, at last, he's less arrogant. Honestly, that was my reaction when I heard it. I think he has more than a tin ear. I think he was absolutely deaf about what was going on. And I think, in part, that that arrogance came from listening too much to a tightly closed circle of thinking, including the Koch brothers and the arch conservatives he's running off to raise millions of dollars from all the time right now. I think he had no clue what he was walking into, and he played his cards so poorly that this is an attempt to make some reconciliation, but there are so many Wisconsinites who are still so angry with him that I don't think that it's going to matter much.
Mm-hmm. Walter John Chilson?
Well, I think he's very candid and accurate in mentioning the regrets that he has, the principal one being that he should have played his cards much more differently and on the way he introduced and pushed through much too rapidly the changes in collective bargaining. I've talked to a few Republicans who were upset with him for not having mentioned it before the election, but I think that would have been a devastating thing for him to do. It would have really riled up the opposition at that time.
And it's, but, it's that stealth behavior that has many people I know who voted for him, that he was intending to do this all along, but he never mentioned it. I mean, that is just deplorable for a public servant. And I think maybe now he knows more what it means to be a public servant at this level.
Walter John?
I think he has learned. I think he has learned a lot. And I think that he'll benefit from that knowledge. I think we can't forget, however, that there are more and more evidence piling up that what he did was the correct thing to do. Here we have some strong evidence right here in Marathon County that Brad Karger, the county executive, gives total credit to the fact that he came up with a balanced budget without any tax increases, didn't make many cuts, and he gave Governor Walker's collective bargaining issue the total credit for giving him the money needed to do just that.
Let me move to some related issues. You had mentioned, Georgia Derslotty, that the governor is spending a lot of time traveling around the country and raising money for the recall. There was a story in our Madison's Wisconsin State Journal on Saturday saying that a lot of his out-of-state travel is kind of kept secret. It says personal time or private rather than knowing, you know, where he is. Is there anything wrong with not, you know, with the governor not putting that kind of stuff on his schedule?
Yes. And I say that I would like to put the preface to that saying we maintain this fiction that campaigning is somehow discrete and different from governing, and in theory it is. But when he goes for fundraising events, he is in fact contributing to his capacity to govern, and therefore that is public knowledge. The notion that putting attending fundraising events on a public schedule, even if on a campaign schedule, is somehow the same as saying I'm going to have dinner with my family tonight is simply erroneous. This is something that should be public knowledge, where he's getting his money from, where he's out and about at these kinds of events is something that the public has a right to know, and he should be accountable to the public for how he's raising his money.
Do you think so, Walter John Chilson?
Well, I think I'd like to see more accountability given to both parties on where the money's coming from. We've had in the last recall elections, you know, millions of dollars spent coming from out of state, and no way to identify who those people were who contributed to those elections. We ought to have more of a policy like Minnesota has a much better policy than we in that regard, and I think you can still protect the right to give, the freedom to give to whoever you want to give, but we ought to have some identification of where the money's coming from. That probably can't happen until we amend the Constitution to allow people to give money and then identify where it came from.
Scott Walker was named Governor of the Year by a political analyst in the Governor's Journal. He said that Governor Walker highlighted the basic conflicts going on in states around the country, said something about him representing the best and the worst of conservative governing or politics. Walter John Chilson, is Scott Walker the Governor of the Year?
Well, he's a governor who certainly established the most controversial issue, and it popped up in many other states as well. And as George said, the has given a lot of power to the Democrat Party, a lot of organizational power in the way he brought it about. I don't know whether that makes him Governor of the Year. I think the only thing credible about that selection is that the Journal chose New York's Democrat Governor Andrew Cuomo as first runner-up, so there was a balance there anyway.
Mm-hmm. George Dersley?
First of all, who, what journal, huh? You know, this is a very small...
It's run by Pagani Public Affairs. Haven't you heard of them?
It's been around for only about a year. It's just online, I believe.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, like this is has done more to promote that online journal than anything else, right? I mean, so let's just be clear about this. And Governor Walker has to really be reaching if he is touting this Governor of the Year, and to have it be based upon the best and the worst. You know, you're Governor of the Year because you're the most conflictual governor in the country. What kind of judgment is that? I do think they covered themselves well by picking a Democrat for the runner-up, but you know, like, what, this is nothing, and we probably shouldn't be talking about it.
Let's go to Willem in Colfax for our first call. Hello, Willem.
Hello. I just wanted to make a comment about the governor as a governor, as a leader. I think the Republican legislature and the governor, both the Fitzgerald brothers and the governor, seemed to think that because they won an election, that made them the Republican rulers of the state rather than the governor of the people of the state of Wisconsin. And I think he could have done a lot to diffuse the rancor, but instead he chose to either not comment on it or ramp it up. And these accusations of people being brought in from all over the country, bums, to protest at the Capitol, those are just flat, outright lies. And I think he should have said that this is just the people of Wisconsin. You know, there it was a historic demonstration. He should have been conciliatory, somehow explained his position better. If he's so sure of the rightness of his cause, then why doesn't he appear in public to be surrounded by his loving constituents? Instead, him and the Fitzgerald brothers have ramped up this rancor. This division in the state is not because of the people who oppose him, but because of the way that they've behaved.
Yeah, thank you very much, Willem. I think that the governor does appear in public, certainly from time to time, and the protesters are usually right there with him, Georgia Derislati.
He has basically been hiding. He appears in public, but not very often, precisely because the protesters are there, in my estimation. I think Willem is right in the dynamic that happened here about, you know, the determination. And I'll just say the Republicans are really, really good at being disciplined and staying on focus and claiming well beyond any kind of mandate that the election gives them as their mandate. But, hey, you know, I mean, that's the way Democratic elections can work. Willem is right, however, in the fact that by being so partisan rather than, as executives often do, being above the fray. I mean, Tommy Thompson, say what you want about how you thought about his policies. He appealed to the people of Wisconsin, and even though he annoyed Democratic insiders and those who followed politics closely a great deal, he always appealed to the people of Wisconsin, even if it was kind of a mask. And Scott Walker did not do that, and the Fitzgerald brothers absolutely ramped it up. And, you know, they are successful in having pushed through their agenda. I'm sure the conservatives around the country are very pleased with their success, but that's why many in Wisconsin are up in arms.
Mm-hmm. Walter John Chilson?
Well, I don't think there's any question that what the governor has been doing, especially in the most controversial issues, has been... could have been done more skillfully. He needed Jim Clauser to run him, like Tommy Thompson had Jim Clauser advising him what to do and making him look appear to be bipartisan on a lot of issues.
Maureen in Mineral Point is with us. Hello, Maureen.
Hi. My question is that one of the guests had mentioned that I believe it was Marathon County that the tools allowed them to balance their budget. And I would contend if that were the case, then perhaps that board was not doing their job. And the reason I say that, I'm a second-term school board member in Mineral Point, that we had $450,000 of cuts this year. And of that, the tools only gave us a gain of $200,000. And the reason was we had already negotiated in previous years with our teachers. We had gone to a less expensive insurance program, and our teachers on family programs were already paying 10% of their premium. So I would contend that if these tools helped agencies and schools and county governments, were they really doing their job in the negotiation table years before that?
Yeah, and there is a mixed picture, Walter John Chilson, isn't there, around the state?
Well, I think so. In some counties and some cities, the governor's policies have been have done much better in helping out. That certainly was the case here in Marathon County, as I pointed out. But in other places, it has been more more difficult. But I think overall, there's been a tremendous boost for these communities.
Yeah, we'll let you, again, clear your throat. I know a lot of us have that... Something's going around. Georgia Derslotti, your comments on our caller.
I am 100% with Maureen. I was on the school board. We had already made those changes. If Marathon County was being autocratic the way the Republicans are acting in the state level right now before, then it's no wonder that they needed this boost. If they had, in fact, been working closely with their public employees and treated them the way Scott Walker said this was supposed to work anyway, then they would have already had this kind of rapport with their people, and things would have been better. The boost has come absolutely on the backs of public employees, and we are now starting to see the consequences of this as public employees are absolutely buried and unable to do the work that people of Wisconsin expect from the public sector. I mean, my mother-in-law's social worker is so buried right now, and, you know, we're dealing with some very difficult issues, and she just simply can't get to us, and we understand.
Georgia Drislotti is a professor of political science at Beloit College, and Walter John Chilson is a former Republican state senator from Wausau. They are with us for this last week in review of the year. We will have our week in review quiz and cover some more issues after this. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Time now for the Week in Review quiz. Our question this week is from the world of science. Next month, there will be an international vote to get rid of a particular unit of measurement. What is it? You don't have much time to call in your answer, only about 5 minutes, so leap into action. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. If you know what particular unit of measurement may get the boot after this international vote of scientists. We will select a winner from all of the right answers, and you have the opportunity to win a book that we featured on the program recently. All right, well, let's move along with some of the other issues that we need to cover this week. There was some controversy in Wisconsin politics when Governor Walker this week announced he was lifting caps on the state's family care program, health care program. And then the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel wrote a piece revealing that the governor had been ordered to do this in a letter from the federal government. So Democrats are crying foul, saying that, you know, that he should have mentioned that this was ordered by the feds, not his own idea necessarily. Georgia Drislotti, is this a big deal or not?
He's making lemonade out of the lemons that he didn't want, and it certainly is good PR for him. But the fact that he did it in this manner is more of the stealth behavior that fuels this pattern of behavior he has, and that's where the damage lies.
Mm-hmm. Walter John Chilson?
Well, I think people are always looking for a way to feel that they're being deceived by Governor Walker. You forget entirely the fact that shortly after the budget passed in June, Walker said that he hoped to modify or drop the cap this year. And that is what he's doing now. And it's further confused by the fact that the federal government talk about an annual cap, and the governor was talking about the temporary cap that he put on. He has always called it a temporary cap, and now he's just going through with his post-budget promise, and he's modifying it and dropping it. Add a little fuel to the fire. It's strange that Robin Vos, the Republican co-chairman of the Joint Finance Committee, doesn't like the idea at all. And if it was a fait accompli by the federal government saying you ain't going to get any money if you don't do what we say, well, I don't think that Vos is ready to reject all the federal money. So it's still a confusing issue even within the governor's party. But I think that it's quite clear he always intended to drop the cap. Thank you.
The Justice Department blocked a voter ID law in South Carolina this week, saying that it would discriminate against minority voters. Walter John Chilson, do you think Wisconsin's voter ID law might be in their sights next?
I think there's no question about that. It's something that I feel is quite indefensible. They went overboard here in Wisconsin. We had a lady who was on the town board in a small community near Wausau, and she doesn't have a driver's license, isn't going to try to get one, she is not going to be able to vote, and she's voted in for 70 years or something like that. So she is the local evidence that the Republicans, I think, overstepped their bounds in pushing through this voter ID law in Wisconsin that apparently is quite similar to South Carolina's.
Yeah, what your thoughts on the Justice Department blocking this South Carolina voter ID law, Georgia Draslotti?
I would just like to say thank you, Walter John. I am not surprised, as a man of integrity, that you are opposed to this kind of blatant voter suppression. And that's what it is, and the ACLU has a case coming for Wisconsin, and I think it will suffer some similar fates.
Well, there was one international story this week. Well, there are many, but one that we'll have time to talk about. Iran threatened twice this week to block a major oil shipping route in response to international sanctions over its nuclear weapons program. How worried should we be about this, Georgia Draslotti?
Paying attention, you know, Iran has Iran was once a major civilization with the Persian civilization, and they have great pride, and they want to be recognized and respected for their great tradition and the fact, the geopolitical fact, that they are a power in the region right now. So I think we do have to pay attention. Oil is important to the entire West economy, and we just don't need another conflict right now, so we'd better pay attention and handle it well.
Yeah. Well, we just have a couple of minutes to go. Wondering, we already got your somewhat of your predictions when it comes to the presidential race next year. But let's just kind of recap. Georgia Draslotti, what's your prediction when it comes to the 2012 presidential race?
I think Obama's going to win. I think it's going to be long and ugly. Yeah.
There we go. And Walter John Chilson?
Well, I fear that Georgia is right, but I'm still pulling for Mitt Romney. I think the only way Romney can lose is a third-party candidacy will take votes away from the Republicans. There are a lot of people in the more ultra-conservative side, the Tea Party, who say if they can't have it their way, then they're not going to let Romney win. I think that would be a tragedy. It's not, of course, not a settled issue, even that Romney's going to be the candidate. But I think that there are so many issues that point to the fact that Obama should not be reelected, statistically speaking. You know, employment is bad, the economy is bad. He said himself that if he didn't have it solved in 3 years, that he should be a one-term president. There are so many other issues like that that indicate that Obama should not be reelected. But the media is so strongly on his side. He's a very likable guy. His wife is very likable.
Let me jump in on that one, Walter John, because I need one more prediction, and very, very briefly, because we're almost out of time. Scott Walker will likely face a recall election next year. Is he going to survive that?
I think he will.
Oh, that was brief enough. Georgia Draslotti, what do you think?
I think there's a good chance he will survive it for a whole variety of tactics that the Republicans can use between now and then. But it still will totally transform the 2012 election.
This is so funny. We didn't know this. We missed an important holiday last month. Governor Walker declared November the 18th to be Walter John Chilson Day. Walter John, did you do anything great to celebrate that day?
Well, I was surrounded by family applauding.
There we go. Well, congratulations. I just was told that.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
And I extend my congratulations as well.
Yeah, and I want to thank both of you very much for being with us. Have a very happy new year, Georgia Draslotti and Walter John Chilson.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks
happy
a lot.
New year.
Happy
Bye-bye.
New Year to everybody. And time now to reveal the winner of our Week in Review quiz. Congratulations to Margaret and Madison. This is a first. She was our only correct answer, so congratulations. The answer is that the measurement of time, the unit of measurement that is going to be possibly eliminated by an international vote, is the leap second. So there we go. The last leap second was added in 2008. Thanks to Rob Ferret, Bill Martins, and to Amanda Magnus for producing the program. Happy New Year. This is the Ideas Network.